Second, shake somebody's hand, give them a hug, just let them know it's good to see them in God's house today. Asking all our veterans to stand this morning. You got any veterans here? Come on, I know you're all here. Justin, you want to go hand them those? We got something to show our appreciation, but also let me say this. It was pointed out to me, and very rightly so today. If you can still hold your hand up, Justin's got something he wants to share with you for your service to our country and for fighting for our freedoms. But as it was pointed out to me this morning, I should point out, we honor the veterans, and rightfully so, but we need to remember the families of those veterans. Amen? They're the ones that stayed back here and held down the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So thank you very much, men and ladies, for all that you did. And we need to also remember, we're living in a time where people have forgotten the cost of freedom. We need to continue to lift that up. We need to remind folks of what was done so that we can have the freedoms we so enjoy. Amen? Amen. We are very light this morning. I'm not used to seeing a whole swath of chairs empty like that. We got quite a few ill, but we're going to have to get on the phone, guys, when we get home today.
We've got a lot more chairs in here, too.
Oh, that's true as well.
Just tell them about the barbecue tonight.
Amen. Okay. So we do have quite a few announcements, one of which is the barbecue this evening, as she just pointed out. River City Fellowship is coming this evening. They're going to bring barbecue and praise bands, and from 5 o'clock till 7 o'clock, we're inviting you to come and just worship together and eat and just have a joyous time. Just a joyous time one with another. Everyone is invited to come. Thank you, sir. Everyone is in... Oh. Thank you. Everyone is invited to come, so please, those that aren't here this morning, call them, say, hey, we missed you this morning, but you can come out tonight and have some barbecue and sit back and just praise one with another. So like I said, there's a lot out ill as well, so we need to keep praying for them. So that is this evening. A few more announcements I need to make sure to put out. There has been some in that back corner over there said you were having trouble hearing. We made some adjustments this morning. Hopefully the sound is getting back to there now. If you do have issues with not hearing or things of that nature, please write that down and drop it in the prayer column or get with Chris or I so that we will know that there is an issue. So if you can't hear back there for some reason, I think it's been taken care of now. But just if you have anything you need to bring forth, guys, make sure you let us know. We don't know if you don't tell us. You know, we need to hear those things.
Can I come and do the mic real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry. On that note, we're playing now with a live drum kit instead of an electronic drum kit. So if you do have feedback about the drum kit, too loud, too soft, let us know. We need to know whether or not we need to put a shield in front of it. What? Okay, so...
Well, you may and others not, so it's just everybody.
As a body, we'd like to collect your feedback and let us know. We've done everything we can to keep it quiet. I know we've had very loud drums before, but let us know. Let us know how we're doing.
Amen. So we're just trying to make this interactive with everybody, guys, so make sure you let us know. We don't know if you don't tell us. The other thing, that next Sunday after services... In our we kind of talked about the candy drive we had for the fall festival. It was an incredible success. And what she shared with me today is the final tally she has is actually 2 pounds off from one another. And because it's only 2 pounds, rather than one group getting the ice cream social and not the other, next year we'll put a time stamp of when it's over so we don't have, I won't say names, Kathleen, but we won't have... we won't have people at the last minute making sure the old people win. Seriously, oh, listen to him. Seriously, guys, everybody's invited next Sunday after service for the ice cream social for the candy drive. It went very well. We thank everybody for your participation. And, guys, it was fun. I think Fall Festival had a lot of smiles, and you guys made it happen. So next Sunday morning after services, we're going to have an ice cream social, and everyone's invited to stay for that. Today, the barbecue, we've already talked about the barbecue today. The barbecue is 5 to 7. 5 to 7. As you know, we had the youth evangelism ministry Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week in all the school districts. Let me just share quickly the numbers. We had 6,100 students that were spoken to. There was 234 salvations this week. Woo! Hallelujah. Woo! 39 rededications, 13 just assurance, praying with them and letting them know that they were on the right track. 34 non-specified, just kids coming down for prayer, for a total coming forward of 320 kids this past week. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving Day. I want to put that out there as well, because you say, well, that's still a couple of weeks out. It's getting here faster than you think. For those that don't know, we always do Thanksgiving all day here at the church. We do that because there are those we figured out years ago. Lord laid it on our hearts. There are some people, whether people have, their kids have moved away or they've lost a loved one that year, that were celebrating or trying to celebrate Thanksgiving by themselves. And we wanted to make sure everybody knew the church doors are going to be open Thanksgiving Day to give thanks for all the blessings that God has given us. Now, if you would, you can bring your whole family. If you're saying, well, I'm with family, you can bring all them. If you say, well, I watch football that day, we're going to have a football room set up in the front up there. There's food. You can come for 5 minutes, an hour, or stay all day. There'll be a football room. They play games in the fellowship hall. And you may just want to come sit, eat, and fellowship. That's okay. But it's going to be open all day. Now, Sherry has put a list out over in the... Oh, it's in here now? So if you'd like to sign up for something that you would like to bring to that for that day as well, she's put a list on the front table. But we're just going to have a great time of fellowship here. Now, if you're traveling, going to be with your family and such, hallelujah. I'm not saying you have to dump your family to come hang out with us. Well, I am, but anyway. Seriously, guys, if you'd like to come up and share some of your Thanksgiving with us, we'd love to do that. Socktober is still going on. If you have jackets, clothes, socks, things of that nature to give to the food pantry, for those who, as we're moving into the winter time. Grief during the holidays. Next Sunday evening, there is a program being presented by the Ecumenical Center. It'll be here at the church. It is from 6 to 7, and it's Grief in the Holidays. For those, it's a class that's going to be presented to those that are having a hard time getting through the holidays, and or you may want to come to help others, to learn how to help others deal with their grief during the holidays. So that's going to be here next Sunday afternoon, next Sunday evening, starting at 6 o'clock next Sunday evening. Play that by ear. We'll see how many people need to go there or vice versa. I'm not teaching that, so yes, I can still teach church. So we'll play it by ear there. So stay, because it'll either be church. You can either come to the church service or to the grief in the holidays service. Last thing I have here on my list before I turn over is this coming week, Monday and Tuesday, Southern Baptist Texas Convention annual convention. Our church has got 6 people going as messengers, praise God. So just keep us in prayer that Monday and Tuesday we'll listen to the direction of the association. The Southern Baptists of Texas have really helped us through this last year and the ordeals that we've been through, both financially and spiritually. So I want to continue to keep them in your prayers, guys. Amen? And pray for we have safe travels there and back Monday and Tuesday. Okay, before I turn it over to Rod, we do have a special guest who's going to come up for just a minute, Elizabeth. If you didn't see, Elizabeth Reyes came and she ran 26 miles. These are the names of all the 26 who were lost, and she ran 26 miles carrying that flag. Amen. Did you want to go up to Mike to say anything? Father God, I just thank you for Elizabeth and what she's done to honor those who have shed their blood for you. And God, she's coming now. May you just bless her and may we hear you through her as she shares a couple of minutes with us now, which you've laid on her heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Give me a sec. My mom always teases me because I start rubbing my little eyes. But it's just such an honor to be here standing in front of y'all to see so much love and unity. It's amazing to know what y'all have come through, and it's just the power of love that keeps you risen as a community, as a family, as a church. It's amazing to witness, it's amazing to see and share and be able to be a part of God's love and his journey. But just real quick, I've been doing this since, I've always been athletic, but I started running in 2010. That was my first marathon. And after my first marathon, I only trained for 6 weeks. Usually you should train 24 weeks, but I was stubborn and I was like, I can do it. So I ran my first marathon and I swore I would never ever run again. But 3 weeks later, I was running the Honolulu Marathon in Hawaii, and from that moment, I was just hooked. I love the feeling. Running allows me to be free without judgment, allows me to be one with myself, whether it's my own faults or, you know, my own personal growth. It's me and me alone to have that judgment. So as I started running in 2013, for those years, running allowed me to be free and allowed me to learn and to grow as a person within myself. And then it started to organically grow into spiritual existence. And so I couldn't keep that feeling I had for myself anymore. I was starting to become selfish with it. And my running began to see that I was being selfish with that journey. Because I felt so free, I was like, I need to share this with people, but how? And this morning with Pastor Pomeroy at Sunday school, he said, God can call you, and it's okay to question it, but not to challenge it. This is my takeaway from it. So I could feel God calling me to do something greater than myself. I just couldn't put my finger on it. So I just kept going, and I just kept asking for guidance on what his plan for me was. So in 2013, on New Year's Eve, we had a runner. Her name was Lauren Bump. I didn't know her, but she was a runner. She was a part of our community. So she went for a run one morning, and she was a child of God. She had missionary work. But she went running. She was abducted. She was raped, and she was murdered. And she was left for dead at OP Schnabel Park. And two walkers found her body, and 2 days later, the perpetrator tried to do it again. And to another female runner, she caught on. She went and told two people. They were undercover police, and they caught him. But during her silent mile at OP Schnabel, a silent mile is when you walk in silence with people. No music, no talking. It's a silent mile to honor the person. So when we did it, it was so powerful. And her pastor was there speaking, and he said, y'all, don't worry about Lauren. She's with God right now. She wouldn't want to be anyplace else right now. And so in that moment, I knew that she was safe. And as we started the silent mile, our footsteps were so loud and so powerful, I just knew that we were all God's soldiers. Amen. Going to take in one of his children. Amen. And so in that moment of the silent mile, I had a 100-mile race coming up. So that was about a month later, I had a 100-mile race coming up. And so as we ended the silent mile, we got into the car, and I told my friends, I said, I have to run for Lauren. I didn't know what I just said, but I said it. I said, I'm running that 100-mile for Lauren. And they're fully supportive. They said, we got you, Liz. Let's go. So the 100-mile came, and I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was saying, but I knew I was going to run in her honor. And so during the 100-mile, it was at mile 24, I was done. I was ready to quit. And I started sobbing in the trail. So we ran in the trail. It was 5 loops of 20 miles. And so at mile 24, I was done. I was sobbing, and I kept apologizing to Lauren, talking to her. And before I knew it, I went from a 22-minute pace to an 11:50 pace, going uphill for 5 miles. And I knew I couldn't know. I didn't know what was happening. I was shaking. I was crying. But I was safe. I was comforted. So I knew that was the spirit of Lauren and the spirit of God with me. So after that, she carried me for about 5 miles, and then before I knew it, I finished. I finished in 29 hours, and I think it was 48 minutes. And when they went to give me my buckle, we get big belt buckles when you finish 100-mile. I wouldn't take it. The race director said, welcome back. You've been gone a long time. Here's your buckle. And I wouldn't take it. And it was 30 degrees. It was pouring rain on us, and they thought I was hypothermic. So I kept looking back into the trail, and the race director says, who are you looking for? And I was looking for Lauren to give her buckle. And so that's when they're like, get her in the car. She's lost it. She's in hypothermia. And that's when I knew that race, I wouldn't have completed it without her spirit with me. And then that's when I started giving away my medals to people. I don't keep a single medal from any race that I do. Whether it's a mile, 3 mile, 5 mile, 50 mile, 100 mile race, I don't keep my medals. I give it to the person I run for. And those people are called my joyriders. And I got the term because when I would go for a ride, I would feel free, and I'd be like, all right, let's go for a joyride. Just like your Sunday joyride you would take to free yourself of any, just to be alone with yourself. So that's how I got the name Joyriders for the people that I run for. So since, as of last Monday, I've ran for almost 600 people, 2,000 miles, running for people, raising awareness, whether I'm running for people of murderous acts and mass shootings, or if I'm running for our fallen officers, firefighters, or if I'm running for somebody that just inspires me because I see their struggle and they make it through the next day, I recognize them and I run for them and I carry their spirit with me. So when I ran for Sutherland Springs, my mom had bought me the ribbons last year because I had just ran 50 miles for the victims of the Las Vegas shooting. I ran 50 miles carrying the flag, the whole 50 miles with all their names on it, just like this one. And then, you know, the next month this happened. And so she bought me the ribbons, and it was just, I could see the amount of attention, and it just, my heart wanted to do something, but God was just like, not yet, not right now. Just let them be. So I was like, all right. So I listened. And then, you know, this year coming up, it was my time. So the ribbons were sitting at my desk forever, and my students were asking me, you know, Miss, are you going to do something? I teach high school art. And so I had the flag, and I had ran with the flag before. I bought the flag when I ran for the victims of the Hurricane Harvey. I went and ran out that day. So that there's already a connection with my joyriders. So the all the families and victims of Sutherland Springs, they're united with all those families from Harvey, because I had ran previously with that flag. So I saw that it was going to be a year, and I battled listening to God. Do I run Sunday or do I run Monday? Do I run on the 4th or do I run on the 5th? But Sunday still, y'all, was your day to do what you were doing with the media and with everybody coming in to pay their respects. And I said, no, I'm going to do this Monday, the day of. And I called my friend and I said, hey, I need an escort. And he says, I'll be there. He's been my friend over 20 years. And it's just the power of love that people just drop what they're doing and they rise. And that's what this was all about. The last time I ran before Monday was August 18th. In Leadville, Colorado, so I hadn't ran in about 2 months. But, you know, people ask me, well, how did you prepare for this? And it's like, I prepare with God's love. I don't need to go out and train. Nobody prepared any of you for that moment, so nothing prepared me for my moment. I had to rise. I became his soldier, and as soon as I gear up with all my gear, it's not for me anymore. It's for God. So I did what he told me to do, and I listened. If he wanted me to go 5 miles, I was going to go 5 miles. If he wanted me to go 10, I was going to go 10. If he wanted me to come all the way home to you guys, he brought me all the way here, and that's what he did. Amen. So, thank you. But the whole journey up here, I felt no pain. I mean, the road was long, and I just had to put myself in the trail where I could see, you know, Mother Earth, because I'm a trail runner, so we run in the woods and everything. So I had to turn the road visually into my place of prayer, into my church, which is in the trail. And you know, as I'm running, you know, any tree that would stick out, any limbs that would stick out, I would embrace it and make contact with them, because I knew that God was painting a picture that I needed to run. So,
thank you,
Elizabeth. Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. And she did that because the Lord laid it on her heart to do that for our fallen. So praise God for her. Brother Rod, are you here? I know you're here, but come on up, brother. Amen. Elizabeth, we'll keep you in our prayers, honey. Amen. Father God, I just lift up my brother to you and just ask you in the name of Jesus that you would just give Rod the words to say. May we hear them, and may we apply them to our hearts, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Today's message is kind of ironic. And speaking of running, if I had my hat on, I'd tip it to you. I ran once when I was young, and it was all the way out to my horse. A bull was getting out. And that's all the running I've ever done. But what I want to speak today about is Romans 1:17. And it talks about faith. And people say, why do you do things, or how do you do things, or whatever? And I look at this church, and I look at two different things from our tragedy a year ago. We're growing, we're coming back, we're going to be bigger and stronger. And I believe our faith is stronger now because of those that have sacrificed before us for us. And because of them, this is all possible. I add one word to faith at the same time, and that's acceptance of what's taken place, what will take place. My whole life, I've lived long enough now that most of you, I hope you make it this far. But I live my day by faith and acceptance to do what I do each and every day, whether it's at the house, whether it's down at church, or in San Antonio driving in traffic, whatever it may be. And in Romans 1:17, it says, for in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. And that's what we have to base our lives upon, is the faith in God, and that everything he does is for a purpose, and we accept that. We'll go to prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we do come before you this morning just to thank you and praise you for all that you do for us. We ask that you enter each one of our lives and lead us on the path that you shall have us to go. We ask this in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to continue in song this morning. If you guys want to rise or take a comfortable position of worship, the words will be up on the screen, of course. We're going to sing As the Deer.
Than
giver and the apple of my eye. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. For you desire and I long to worship thee.
Repeat that line again.
For you alone are my heart's desire and I long to worship thee. Ah, hallelujah. Ah, hallelujah. For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Ah, hallelujah. Ah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah. Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty.
You know, there's been some people who have come up to me and asked me how I continue, how I move on, how I keep going. And this next song talks about a big reason why I can kind of continue on with such tenacity and keep going. And it asks the question, whom shall I fear? You know, what do I have to fear moving forward? So let's just sing that this morning. Whom shall I fear? You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me. Yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Nothing formed against me shall stand. The whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. Nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. You are faithful, you are faithful, you are faithful. I know who goes before me, I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Christ, I, the God of angel armies, is always by my side.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't it great that the God of angels' armies is always by our side? Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to start us off this morning with a little bit of levity. It's been a lot going on the past couple weeks, kind of seriousness in our songs this morning, praise God. But this being Veterans Day, I want to honor our veterans, and I thought most veterans have a sense of humor as well. And I thought, let's break it open just a little bit at the beginning, just a little bit, with a couple of thoughts I had. I was told about one of the Army bases, the annual trip to the rifle range had been canceled for the second year in a row. However, the semi-annual physical fitness test was still a go. And one soldier looked to another and he said, am I the only one it bothers here that they don't really care to see how we shoot, but they sure do want to know we can run fast? Yeah. Or another group of soldiers, one time they were all at they're standing there in formation, and their drill sergeant turns around and hollers out, all you idiots are dismissed, and everybody scatters and everything, but there's one man left at attention. Well, that drill sergeant goes over there and gets eye to eye, nose to nose, and one eyebrow goes up, and that soldier looks at him and says, man, a lot of idiots in this platoon, isn't there? I don't want to pick on just the Army, but so we'll hit the Air Force just a little bit as well. Be careful. the Air Force was down on recruits, and they were really trying to get some people to come, and they're out there. Well, they're trying to recruit, and these two men walk up, these brothers, these twins, they walk up, and they look like they just stepped off a Marine Corps recruiting poster. This good, squared away, solid individuals. And they walk up to the podium there, and the recruiter asks him, son, what skills do you have to offer the Air Force? He said, I'm a pilot, sir. And he got all excited and turned to his aide and said, sign him up. He is in. He looks to his other brother and he says, now what services do you have? What skills do you have to offer the Air Force? He said, I can chop wood, sir. And he looked at him and said, son, this is the 21st century. We don't have any need to be chopping wood in the United States Air Force. So what other skills do you have? He said, sir, I just can really chop wood. He said, you're not hearing me, boy. We don't need any wood choppers in the United States Air Force. He said, well, you hired my brother over there. He said, yeah, he's a pilot. Well, he sure can't pilot if I don't chop it. Come on. I thought it was good. Marina, don't give me that look. She is my daughter, whether she claims me or not right now. Amen. All right. Let's look at the Bible this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ to please the recruiter. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in the concerns of everyday life, but share in the sufferings as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul referred to himself as a soldier in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. And he talks about Epaphroditus in Philippians 2:25. He also talks about Achaicus in Philemon 1:2. But he says, my fellow soldiers, Paul looked at us and he wrote in such a fashion to present to you and I that we are soldiers called in accordance of God's word to be soldiers for Christ on this side of glory. This Veterans Day, I think it's important that we remember the men and women who put on a uniform and go and fight for the freedoms that we enjoy in this great country. Amen? Amen. And I think in a day and age where people are more often choosing to look down on our flag and look down on our military, we need to remind them that the very fact they have the freedom to do that without persecution is because men and women put on the uniform and went and fought for their rights and their freedoms to do such. And sometimes they do things that are just absolutely hurtful. So it's up to you and I to remind folks, remind the people that we as a body, as Americans, should be thankful that there are those who chose. We live in a country that gets to choose to go and enlist and put on that uniform, and they choose to fight for their country. We were in a training just this week, and they were speaking of one of the converts from terrorism. He became a Christian, but he used to be a terrorist over in the Middle East. And he said the only soldier that he was ever afraid of, because he started as an eight-year-old, the only soldier he was afraid of was American Special Forces, and they said because he truly fought for his country. He wasn't fighting just for his paycheck or himself. And that scared him. Those men and women that fight for us, we need to remember them and honor them. Amen? But in so, amen, yeah, you can do that. Hallelujah. However, as this verse so eloquently points out, they are soldiers and they fight for the freedoms we have as people, as Americans. But we as Christians, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we have been also enlisted. When you accepted him, that there was a bullseye put on your back. You became a blip on Satan's radar, if you will. You became someone that was opposing to the worldview. You became someone in a spiritual battle that changed sides. You took the chose, you enlisted, if you will, into God's army. And by so doing, he expects you and I to step up to the plate and do what it is he's called us to do. We should be about squaring ourselves away and studying and being what he has called us on an everyday, daily basis, guys. And we can learn a lot by looking at the military. We can learn a lot by our military service, the services that we have in this country. But yet we learn even more when we put our heart and our mind into the Lord. But what is a Christian soldier? What is a soldier? You think about our military today. You think about the soldiers. I haven't been home this weekend, but I bet there's been a lot of war movies and war shows and things of that nature. If you haven't seen a soldier in real life, I think you probably have. But there are some things that stand out. If you think about a soldier, he's got a uniform on. He has a haircut that matches. He has things where you know there's not a whole lot that a recruit needs because the government meets it all. He is enlisted and the government's going to meet his every need, and because of meeting those needs, they stand out. You can walk into a restaurant, you see that uniform, you see those starched lines, you see that haircut. You can see oftentimes, if a soldier's truly squared away, he can be in civilian clothes and you'll still see by the way he walks and the way he carries himself that he has been in a military unit. He has been into a place. There is a soldier. Something stands out about them. Because the government has met their needs and has taught them, they stand out from everyone else. Well, guys, I would submit to you this morning that just as the government meets their needs as Christian soldiers, God meets our needs. And the more we get ourselves into the Word of God and the more we become the soldiers that God has called us to be, we're going to stand out in the world. We're going to stand out and people are going to say, there's something different about him. There's something different about her. There's something different about this guy over here. What is it? And then you can tell them it's because I serve the Lord Jesus Christ as my commanding officer. He is my Savior, my Lord, my Christ. I have sold out. I have given him everything. And for that, he has taught me, trained me, and made me into who I am today. If we truly want to be the Christians that God's called us to be, then that means selling out to Christ. God reckons all of us to be soldiers. As long as we're on this side of glory, we have been called to go forth and fight that fight. We have men and women in uniform that are fighting so that we can stay free and free others. It is the same thing spiritually. When we put on the uniform of a Christian, when we've been washed by the blood of Christ, we are in Christ Jesus. We should be fighting not only to stay free, but we should be fighting so that others can be freed. Amen? It should stand out to the world. They should see there is something different. Thomas Jefferson said every citizen should be a soldier. You look at the Greeks, you look at the Romans of old. That's what made them so successful was they understood they were fighting for their country. They were fighting for their way of life. They were fighting for what they deemed to be important. It is the same thing in our faith, guys. We are to have faith, as Brother Rod pointed out a while ago, a faith in Christ. And because I have that faith, I choose to fight for that faith. We are in a war, folks. There is a war between two kingdoms. The Bible continually goes back to it. The New Testament speaks of the warfare between the good and the bad. There is between the principalities of good and evil. There is a war that's going on in this world, and we can choose to act like the world. And what kind of soldier is going to choose to act like his enemy? Or we can choose to act like he's called us to do and fight against the enemy. Choose to go and proclaim that thus saith the Lord. The Bible says that we are to fight the good fight. It didn't say accept Christ and then roll over and hide your head in the sand. It didn't say accept Christ and then expect everybody else to cater to you. It didn't say accept Christ and then become the prima donna like you're the God's gift to the church. It said that you are to fight the good fight. To fight the good fight, you know what that means? You keep your mouth shut, follow orders, and do what God tells you to do. And that's probably kind of harsh to say it that way from a pulpit. I just had a DI holler in the back of my head. I did. All these years later, I just had a DI holler in the back of my ear right there. Amen. But it's what we're supposed to do, guys. We should take our orders, look at them, and maybe not understand fully and capably how to do it, but get out there and do it. In a war, soldiers are people who do the fighting. It is men and women who go forth and they fight for their government's cause. As Christian soldiers, he didn't call us to this to accept him and sit down and expect everybody else to. Oh, it's the deacon's job. It's the pastor's job. It's sister so-and-so's job. It's Chris's job. It's a musician's job. It's his job. Well, let's quit telling everybody what their job is and be about our job. And then maybe we can work hand and work together and further the kingdom the way God has called us to further it. It's not about one man doing this or that. It is a corporate army of God, and God's the commander, not us. If we really want to honor God and fight for what we know that we believe in, we should be going forth. And, you know, soldiers risk their life in the process of standing for these freedoms we have. We should be willing to risk our lives to the point that God calls us to do something. Just like any Army or Marine Corps or Navy, Air Force, whatever branch you want to say, the church is not a democracy. You follow orders. When God presents an order to you and I, we are called to do it. We either obey Jesus or we don't. Now, any of you guys that have been in the military, you know what happens when you choose to disobey a lawful order. It's not fun. You know, I thought I was the toughest thing I ever walked when I went into boot camp, but by the time I got out, my mouth was shut. I smarted off a few times those first couple of weeks, and I realized this is not what I want to do. They taught me to listen. They took somebody that you know, I thought I was the meanest, baddest thing that could ever walk. You know, I grew up on the streets of Cloverleaf. What are y'all going to do? You know, that was kind of the thought I had in my mind. They taught me real quick that I wasn't all I thought I was, that I needed to get my discipline. I needed to hone the things that I thought I knew. It's the same thing in our faith. We need to realize that it's God who's in control. It's not me calling the shots. It's God who should be calling the shots. What we need to understand is that obedience is true freedom, guys. When I'm truly sold out to Christ, freedom means I don't have to submit to the carnal nature. I do what the Lord tells me to do, and he has to deal with the fallout at that point. As long as I'm doing what God is calling me to do, I don't have to worry about the outcomes and the answers. I mean, I may need to pray about it and make sure I'm doing what he's telling me to, but as long as I feel as though to the best of my ability I'm doing what God's calling me to do, and I have put my trust in my commanding officer that God knows where I need to be, when I need to be there, and he's going to have me do what he deems right, when I have focused and get sold out everything and fully entrust myself into his leadership, then I'm just going to follow him, and what happens behind me, and he's going to have somebody handle that. It's freedom. When we quit fighting with God and start obeying God, when we quit telling him, no, this is my lifestyle. No, this is what I'm going to buy. No, this is how I'm going to do this. No, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. When we quit doing that and just start saying, yes, sir, things change. It becomes freedom. Because I can go forth and everybody might be bickering and yelling and talking, and I can stop and say, you know, this is what God says. This is the way I feel about what God's telling me to do. Y'all can fight amongst yourselves, but I'm headed in this way. Do you want to go with the platoon or do you want to stay behind? God has called us, guys, to be Christian soldiers, to go forth and fight the battle, not one another. He didn't tell us to fight one another. The battle is against the enemy. And to be fit, I'm going to go back to what Rod was saying just a while ago. There's some things required of soldiers. And one of those is faithfulness. And the bottom line of faithfulness is commitment. I should be so committed to the cause of Christ that I'm going to be faithful to the cause of Christ regardless of whoever tries to trip me up and take me down. whether it's the enemy or whether the enemy was able to get one of my brothers and sisters to drop something to trip me up a little bit or whatever it may be, I am going to be so committed to the cause of Christ that even though they may trip me and bounce me around, I'm going to follow where he tells me to go. You know, guys, we have to be committed to something or we have no purpose in life. If you are not fully committed to Christ, then you don't fully have purpose in your life. We are going to be committed to something that we believe in. If we truly belong to something, if we feel like this is ours, we will act like it. If I want to be committed to the cause of Christ, I'm not going to be ashamed of it. I'm going to act like it. God never made us as like robots. He didn't tell us that you have to do my will. He expects us to be faithful. He expects us to be committed. He expects us to make a choice, to choose right now to put who I am into something bigger than myself. When I consciously make that choice, and sometimes I got to make it several times a day, I have chosen to follow the cause of Christ. Maybe a little issue builds up and all of a sudden there's tension and I can allow myself to get pulled into and pulled down by whatever this is. Or I choose right now to commit myself to the call of Christ and be the odd man in the whole mess, if that's what it's called me to be. I choose whether I'm going to be committed to Christ in the midst of the turmoil, in the midst of the name calling, in the midst of whatever it is. You and I have to make a decision. Am I fully committed or not? Because if I'm fully committed, even though everybody else is saying nay, I will say yea, thus saith the Lord. If we are going to be the Christian soldiers God has called us to be, folks, any of you that have spent any time in the military, know once you've committed yourself, you're committed. You can't stop in the middle and hold up your little car and say, wait, guys, can y'all quit shooting a minute? I got to go potty. That doesn't work that way. Once you have committed to a theater of battle, you are in that theater and you need to get to the other side and take as many with you as you can. And the only way to do that is to be committed to your men and to those behind you, but most of all to your commanding officer, the goal, the challenge that's been put before you, and committed to carry it through. God has given us our challenge. When we decide to stand for God, I promise you, he stands with us. The mark of a true Christian is being able to discern between good and evil. And once we make that discernment, making the choice, I am committed to good. But all my friends are going that way. The world says I should have 15 boyfriends and 7 girlfriends over here. Nope. God says to be committed this way. I choose this. If we are going to be the Christian soldiers God's called us to be, we have to be faithful. And faithful means being committed to the point that we can just know that God, we're doing what God's will is. And the great thing there is when we are doing what God tells us to do, all of a sudden his power becomes available. All of a sudden his power is made manifest. It is incredible to me, even to this day, that when I am out doing something, all of a sudden I can feel or see the power of God working around me. And I am still mystified. And I'm like, wow. But then I stop and say, well, why would it surprise me? I should have known that it was going to happen because we're doing what God's calling me to do. Well, that was awful miraculous the way that came to be because I serve a miraculous God. I may not understand how he's going to bring it together. I may not understand when he's going to bring it together. But as long as I'm doing and committed to the cause that he's called me to be committed to and continue to fight the battle the best of my ability, the way he's called me to fight it, that when the victory is won, which I know the end of the book, it is, then I'll see, wow, look at the miraculous things that God has done. Because he stands with us. You know, guys, I'm going to say something might step on a little bit of toes here. But a Christian, an uncommitted Christian, is usually just a Christian in words. An uncommitted Christian usually has said a prayer, but has never given his heart to it. He's never truly meant what he said. Well, you may say, well, that's pretty harsh, Frank. A man tends to fight, or woman, a person, tends to fight for what he believes in. And if you are committed, you're going to fight for that. If somebody tries to get in my family or hurt, if one of y'all was to come and start trying to rail on Marina right here, I guarantee you there's going to be a daddy in the way. Because I love her, and I am committed to protecting her to the best of my ability. I say that it's the same thing for our Christian faith. If we are truly committed to the call of Christ, we are going to go forth and fight. Those who are Christian in word, you know what happens when the battle gets hard, when things get rough? They put their weapons down and blend in with the rest of the world. That's not commitment. And if you're not committed enough to stand and fight, then I'm saying you're probably never committed at all. If we, oh, pastor, there's backsliders, there's this, we have weaknesses here, we have weaknesses there. Commitment breeds conviction. And out of my conviction, I am going to be courageously fighting the battle. If I am truly committed, then God's going to bring conviction and show me you're falling short right here. Well, yeah, you know, I am, Lord, but he gives us courage. You know, courage is not the absence of fear. If you ask any man who's been on a battlefield in active fire, he's going to tell you he was afraid. Fear is normal. If he's either a sociopath or he's lying if he says he wasn't afraid. Fear is normal, but courage is being able to take that fear and accomplishing your mission anyway. If I'm truly committed to Christ, you know what I'm going to do? I am going to be so committed that when he convicts me, well, there's this sin in your life, there's this backsliding, there's this area, I'm going to be convicted. But because I'm committed to him, I'm scared to try to accomplish this. I'm scared to try to get rid of this. I'm scared to try to walk away from this. But because I'm committed to you, I'm going to be courageous enough to overcome my fear, and I am going to talk to my neighbor. I am going to share my faith. I am going to walk away from this vice. I am going to be able to do these things, not because of who I am, but because of who you are, and you've called me through this battle, then I am committed to you that you will give me your grace, your power, your mercy, that I would, through conviction, courageously confront it and come out the other side. When we are faithful, when we are committed to Christ, then you are going to have the convictions of Christ come upon you, and those are the orders of Christ, I like to call them, and you're going to be able to courageously step out. I've had people tell me many times, long before this past year, but many times, well, Frank, we're just not as courageous as you are. You, or Sherry says, I'm confrontational. I'm not. But I don't turn and run either, because I choose to be committed to the call of Christ. Now, if God tells me turn around and walk away, I'm going to turn around and walk away. If he tells me to stand my ground, I'm going to stand my ground. If he says walk forward, well, that's scary, Lord, but I'm going to walk forward. You know why? Because I'm not committed to the situation. I'm not committed to the people right here. I'm committed to Christ. And because I'm committed to him, that conviction will carry me through courageously. I didn't say I wouldn't be afraid. You know, but there's a difference in carrying on anyway. What John Wayne, what he says, courage is getting on your horse, being afraid, but getting on your horse and riding out anyway. Getting up, saddling up anyway. I knew the man that watches every John Wayne movie every other day would know. Guys, think about the freedoms we have in this country. Think about how great these freedoms are. I would say the freedoms in this country are worthy for me to fight for. They are worthy for me to die for. And there have been men and women who have fought and died. And I pray on Veterans Day we remember them. And I praise God for them. And I thank God for the freedoms we have in this country. When I think of the American flag, it represents freedom to me. And it breaks my heart when I see people dishonoring and doing things against our standard as it flies above us. But as important as this country is and the freedoms we enjoy, the freedoms of Jesus Christ, the spiritual freedoms that he has purchased with us through his blood on that cross, they mean 10 times more to me. As much as I am dedicated to the American way of life and to the American flag and the men and women who fought and died so that I can stand here and present the gospel to you today, I am even more committed to who Jesus Christ is in the battle that he presents in front of us. And I would pray that each one of us that are truly sold out to Christ would say the same thing, that I am truly sold out, all in, if you will, to who Christ is. Courage is born of conviction. Conviction is born of faithfulness, commitment. All things come back to your commitment. Do you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or do you not? I'm not saying a prayer. I'm not saying that you said a prayer when you were younger. I'm saying, have you truly, more than with your mouth, but with your heart, said, I am fully in. I am all in. I choose to be a Christian. Because once you have truly sold out to Christ, when that conviction comes, you're going to follow through. Now, that means it takes discipline. Any soldier in here will tell you that's been in the military, I keep saying soldier, Marine, airman, sailor, whomever. What do Coast Guard call their people? Sailors? Whatever it may be, there was discipline involved. You have to be disciplined. There has to be discipline. You can't have an army without discipline. An undisciplined person has to run in a pack and hope for the best. A disciplined person can stop, and it will save his life in a dire situation. A person who has discipline is able to act upon the situation without panic. Panicking means you fell back on your emotions, and you're acting out of your emotions. You've got to be a disciplined soldier for Christ and be able to act upon what you know that the Lord is telling you to do. Our emotions are real. Don't get me wrong. Our emotions are important. But in the midst of a battle, you do not want to act on your emotions. You want to act on your training. You want to act on your discipline. You want to act on what it is that God has trained you to do. I shared just this Friday when I was talking at an event that the first couple of weeks after the tragedy, people say, well, Frank, you said this. Frank, you said that. I'll be honest with you. A lot of that stuff's still foggy and gray in my head. I can't really remember a lot of those things. So that means what? That all those things that everybody's saying, man, that was powerful, that was good, that was this, that was that. You know what that was from? That was discipline of studying the Word of God and surrendering to Him so that when I didn't know what my mouth would say, He used it for me. And that's for each and every one of us, guys. Every one of us should be so disciplined, so focused on who God is, that I can go forth and in discipline submit myself to Christ. And in that submission unto my commanding officer, that submission unto Christ, I know that He will use me in the way that He so desires. We like to say, well, we'll tell the devil, get thee behind me. The devil's not going to submit to you, but he will submit to Christ who's within you. But if you haven't submitted to Christ, then why should the devil ever submit to you? It's when you submit to Christ and the devil comes up and you say, get thee behind me in the name of Jesus. He's going to say, I know you. I know the one that's in you, and I submit. That's what's important, guys. Now, understand, you know, something else I want to put out there as a soldier. There's some things we need to expect. If we're going to be a soldier for Christ, if we're going to do as it says here in Timothy, we're going to be good soldiers, there's some things we need to expect. One of the things that I think we need to make sure that a part of our assignment is going to be hardships. Anyone in this room that's been through boot camp, especially if they've been to active duty overseas somewhere in some type of theater, knows there's hardships. You don't get to say, well, I accept Christ, now everything's going to be pie in the sky, peachy, and everybody's going to feed me grapes every day. No. There's hardships that come with this. You can't expect to say the prayer and think that everything's going to be good now. All my problems are going to go away. Somebody's going to be depositing a couple grand a week in my bank account. You know, we're all good. That's not the way it works, guys. There's going to be hardships. A soldier is not exempt from hardships. He takes those hardships on. That's part of the life of being a soldier. But Pastor, I'm one of the King's kids. If I pray it, He has to give it to me. If I claim it, He has to give it to me. We are sons of the King. But guess what? As long as we're on this side of the glory, He tells us, put on your armor every day and get your tail out there and fight the fight. When I call you home, well, then I'll leave others there to keep fighting for me. But as long as you're on that side, yeah, you're my child, you're my son, I am proud of you, get out there and lead the armies. We have been called to go forth and fight the battle. As long as we're on this side of glory. My brother said he hopes we make it to his age. He's 72 now, right, Rod? 72? Somebody just had a heart attack when they heard your age. That was rough, guys. Didn't mean to do that to you, Rod. 72, 75, 80, whatever the age may be that God leaves you on this side of glory, you're His. Hallelujah. But He still expects you to get out there and lead the army. You're princes and princesses to get out there and fight the fight. Hardships are going to be a part of who we are, guys, and opportunities to fight. Don't think that because God saved you that, okay, everything's the pastor, the deacons, David, somebody, they're going to go fight these battles. Guys, we should be ready. Not only, there's no one who is active duty military who sits back and says, I hope all my buddies go fight and I stay behind. No, you've trained with your battle buddies. You want to be out there. It's not that you were wanting any glory, but if my friend, my brother, is in that foxhole, then I want to be there helping protect his back while he protects my back, and we're going to fight for this cause together. It is the same thing in Christendom. We should be ready and willing and wanting to be a part of God's ministry. It is so incredible. I'm not saying it's easy, but it is so incredible when things are said and done. You can step back and say, wow. God allowed me to be a part of this ministry. You know, oftentimes it is down and dirty and hard and feelings and emotions and everything's tearing at you. But when that one young lady or this one young man comes to know Christ, you sit back and say, thank you, Jesus. It may take 5 minutes. You're sitting with somebody for 5 minutes. You can just step back and say, wow, thank you. You allowed me to be a part of your ministry and a part of this victory. Hallelujah. You know, this Path Youth Evangelism, it was incredible. One night I led 5 folks to the Lord. The next night there was 4. And I was just sitting there thinking, wow. And the third night, some of them were right here from our church. They're not here this morning. I'll have to give them a phone call. But they were right here. But those young people accepted Christ. Now I'm just sitting there, thank you, Jesus. We should look that there's going to be hardships. But we should also look for the opportunities. Lord, where is it you would have me to fight? And look for the rewards, too. Those are the rewards. God, thank you for the victory. I'm not talking about the Bible says that we're going to have 5 crowns, a new name, a sacred stone, all these things when we get to glory. But what I'm talking about is the greatest reward. We get to help Jesus set himself up on the throne of heaven of the universe. He is going to, you know what it says in Revelation 19? It says that he is going to come back, and he's going to be riding this huge horse, and it's going to say King of Kings and Lord of Lords on his vesture. And we're going to come with him as the sword protrudeth out of his mouth, as a double-edged sword. We're going to be able to come back and help mop up with the Antichrist and all his minions. We're going to take them all out. God is allowing us to be a part of that victory of him coming forth and proclaiming who he is. And he's going to say, these are my children. These are my people. And we can hold our heads high, not because of who we are, but because our commanding officers chose and said, these are mine. We are to be Christian soldiers, guys, proclaiming the gospel. You know, there was a story I read. It was a chaplain. He was telling a story about his dad, but he says dad came home from World War II in 1949. His dad was excited. There's a bunch of GIs thumbing their way back home. Back then, it wasn't like the world today. Everybody's thumbing their ways back home, and he was doing the same thing. And he got home, and his dad told him, your mom is in the hospital. She's real sick, and she's not going to make it. And he said, I come back from battle, and this is what I'm coming home to. And he said, she takes type AB negative blood. Back then, there was no blood banks and things of that nature. So if you didn't know somebody that had the right blood type, you were stuck out. And she needed that kind of blood, and they didn't know anyone. So he went back home. He said he was driving back to his house to get cleaned up, to go back to the hospital, because they said his mother wasn't going to make it. And he saw a GI thumbing, and he wasn't going to stop and pick him up, but he felt compelled to. So he picked this GI up, and the GI says, you know, you look really despondent. You look depressed. What's the matter? And he told him, he said, you know, my mother, now I'm getting the story from the chaplain. It was his grandmother, but the man said, my mother is not going to make it. She just needs a blood transfusion, and she's not going to make it, and because we don't have anybody with AB negative. And the man pulled out his dog tags and said, I'm AB negative. Turn around. Let's go back to the hospital. They went back to the hospital. He gave his blood. He took the man home. They never even remembered the man's name. But she lived 47 more years. 1996 is when she passed away. And that man, because he shared that blood. I believe it's because they both were Christians. They both were looking where God was. And they did what God called them to do. And because he shared his blood, she was able to live. I would submit to you this morning that we are all sick. We are all falling short, and we need a blood transfusion as well. But Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross so that we could be washed in his cleansed blood and we could have eternal life. If we are going to be Christian soldiers this morning, it means donning the uniform. It means being washed in the blood to wash away the old, get rid of the sin sickness that's in our life, take on his body, take on his blood, take on his calling, and commit completely to who it is we're supposed to be. Folks, I believe that there is something worth fighting for here. I had a wise man once tell me that when we stand before the Lord one day, he's going to ask us a question. You know, when you look at a soldier today that's been active duty, you may see signs of that. Maybe a missing limb. There might be a jagged scar. Maybe a look in their eyes. Maybe internal, maybe pins holding bones together, or or the wire that's wiring up, holding bones together, or maybe in here where that mind has been forged in that field of battle and they're having a hard time being what they've been called to be now. The soldier carries signs of the battles that he's fought. I have a feeling as a Christian soldier, we're going to stand before the Lord one day, and he's going to ask us, where are your scars? Where are your scars? And if we say, well, I don't have any, what's the next question? Was there nothing worth fighting for? Because if you're really fighting for the Lord, there's going to be scars. And I'm not talking about on your physical body. I'm saying that spiritual. But God knows where your physical body is. It's gone back to the dirt from whence it was created. When you stand before the Lord, he's going to be looking at that spiritual body and say, where's your scars? Because here's mine. And mine were for you. Now where are yours for me? Folks, this morning, as we celebrate Veterans Day, and we should honor our veterans, please don't think I'm taking away from them by saying that we are Christian soldiers as well. Celebrate our veterans, lift them up, pray for them. But if you're going to call yourself a Christian, then you need to be a Christian soldier, which means a soldier of Christ, a Christian veteran, then there should be scars. There should be commitment. A commitment that leads to conviction, and that conviction then leads to getting out there and doing what God has called you to do courageously. Where are you this morning? I want to lead us in a word of prayer. I pray that we will go forward from this point on as Christians, committing our duties, carrying out our duties, if you will, with resolution, with determination, with defiance even sometimes. You got to defy the world. I pray that we will go forth and carry out the duties that God has given each one of us the way he has called us to do so. Because when he was called to do something for us, he looked up to the Father and said, man, or he didn't say man, but he just looked up and he said, Lord, Father, if there's any other way, but yet, not my will, thine be done. You know what that tells me? There was a soldier for God the Father who was afraid of that cross. He was afraid of the whipping and the beating and the sin and all that was going to happen. But I am committed to carrying out the plan of salvation that we instituted from the beginning. There is no other way, not my will, but I will courageously step forward and thy will be done. That's what God's called us to do. You know, Christian means to be Christ-like. Maybe we need to be more Christ-like sometimes. Only you know. I'm asking you this morning, between you and God, are you where you're supposed to be? And if so, hallelujah. If not, say, Father, forgive me, for I have fallen short. Isn't it great? We serve a God who will open his arms, wrap you up, and say, I know, but I still love you. Where are you this morning? Let's all stand. I want to lead us in a word of prayer. Father God, I come before you, and I just ask as we celebrate this Veterans Day and honor all those men and women who have shed their blood for the freedoms that we so enjoy, may we also honor you. May we do so even in a way that we know that we know that we are yours. For God, this is all about you. I pray your will to be done here this morning, Lord, and may you be glorified in all that happens. And it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. If God's speaking to you this morning, if he's telling you to sing, sing. If he's telling you to come walk this aisle and accept Christ, hallelujah, accept Christ. Maybe he's telling you to do something else. But will you follow the orders that your commanding officer who died for you is issuing this morning as we sing?
Beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. for me. Love's like a hurricane, I am a tree, bending to me, the weight of His hand and mercy. All of a sudden, I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me.
Because the music may stop and we start filing outside, you can still deal with the Lord 24 hours a day. You know, Ian's here. He's going to be bringing River City Fellowship with us this evening, barbecuing and everything. It may be then in the middle of your bowl of beans that you're ready to accept Christ. Whenever it is, rather than fighting, surrender and sell out to Him and let Him become your commanding officer and watch what He can do. Amen. Amen. If you can grab a seat for just a moment, Josh, you come on over for just a minute. Yeah, these Baptists make you do all that paperwork when you just want to. This is, you may have seen Josh and Yvonne around and their kids right here. They are coming this morning. They've been around quite a bit here lately, and I got to work with them at the youth evangelism this past week, too. They were out there working there as well. And was it your daughter?
Yes.
And this young lady accepted Christ this week. Amen. God works even with the children. Amen.
Amen.
But they're coming this morning. Both Josh and Yvonne both know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they said, we want to come and join and be a part of this body with you guys this morning. So hallelujah. Everybody in accordance to that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Josh, I'll let you go back over there and back to Julie's punishment. Just kidding. Hallelujah. Guys, praise the Lord. Now, they already had that mark on them. They already were part of God's children. Amen? But they're choosing to change units and come and hang out with us and fight with us. So let's just welcome them, and as we would with anyone else, love them and keep moving forward in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Rod, I'd like to share something this morning, and then you want to close us in prayer? Absolutely.
This song just brought to mind something that I want to mention and let you all know, and it involves everybody here. We just put in a new building. I call it the GDS building. It's God's Delivery Service Building.
Amen.
And in there is the pantry at this time. While putting this thing together, we've needed a septic system. And what you don't, if you don't know what it is, if you still had outhouses, you'd appreciate it. But involved, it takes a big concrete tank. that everything goes into and then does its process. Well, that's expensive and it's bulky. But we went ahead and we didn't know how we were going to do it, but we ordered one. And it came and it was delivered by one of our own people, Oscar, which surprised me and I was blessed. And he set it in place, everything just went great. And then I asked for the ticket to pay for it. And he got the invoice out and I look at it and I see the top of it, and it's quite expensive. And he says, don't worry, I got to figure it up, but just sign it. And I went to sign it and I looked and there was a big zero. That comes from American Precast Concrete in Floresville. They did it for our church. And if you ever get a chance to thank them, do so. They're beautiful people. And this song just reminded me how he loves us. He does. He takes care of our blessings. He takes care of, we just have to have the faith as we talked all morning. And the blessings come. Sometimes we don't recognize them, but they're there each and every day. And that's what we have to do. Let's go to prayer.
Let me just remind everybody, 5 to 8 this evening is barbecue and praise, and we're just going to worship together and have a good evening. I want to invite everybody back.
You bet. Heavenly Father, as we prepare to leave this facility, one of your many houses that we come to worship you in, we just ask that your will be done and that you be with each and every one of us as we go throughout this day and all of our days. We thank you for the blessings that you do bestow. In our Lord Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I trust him, the more I love him, nothing good for me here and now. The longer I know him, the better I can show him. I couldn't stop now if I tried. Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the days go by. For the moment he saved me, his good grace he gave me, he placed his love down deep in my heart. There's great joy in knowing, with him I am going, nevermore from him to depart. Oh, it gets sweeter as the days go by. It gets sweeter as the moments fly. His love is richer, deeper, fuller, sweeter, 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 sweeter as the days go by.
Ladies only.
Amen. It's sweeter as the days go by.
Everybody in.
It gets sweeter as the days go by.
Sweeter as the days go by.
It gets sweeter as the moments fly.
Sweeter as the moments fly.
His love is richer. It's sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by.
One more time.
It gets sweeter, sweeter, sweeter as the days go by.
Yeah.
Woo! Attention, attention, attention. Thursday, Thanksgiving. Please don't worry about the violence. The Dallas Cowboys will be playing tag football.
Okay.